How will I know? We just sang. How will I know? In the voice of the shepherds in the story, or in an echo of our own questions some days, our own uncertainties or doubts, or perhaps our attentiveness. How will I know when I am seeing the hand of God at work? How will I know where it will happen and when? How will I know what I'm supposed to do to be ready for it? Our Advent has been full of questions aimed to help us pay attention. Where have you found hope? When have you seen peace? Who has brought you joy? How have you experienced love? You, like me, may have other December checklists that are more easily narrowed down. Tree decorated? Check. Gifts wrapped? Check. Cookies baked? Check. It's done or not done, a clear checklist. But our Advent questions, what are you waiting for? That brings up a little more gray area, a little more uncertainty about when it's actually answered. So maybe it's easier and tempting to keep to the checklists that we know how to finish. Sometimes we busy ourselves with tasks rather than leaving space for God to come down and shake our worlds. In our gospel story today, when an angel tells Joseph the truth of what is happening, Matthew, the storyteller, quotes the prophet Isaiah, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel." If you flip back to the scrolls of Isaiah, chapter 7 specifically, you find the prophet relaying God's message to one of Joseph's ancestors, King Ahaz of Judah. I find that Ahaz and Joseph have some things in common. They're both afraid of what might happen next. And they both make a plan to deal with it themselves and then justify it to themselves. But only Joseph lets God interrupt his plan. Ahaz fears the attack of the northern kingdom, and he turns to their enemy, Assyria, to make an alliance to keep Judah safe. The word of God comes to Ahaz saying, "Ask God for a sign. It can be as big as you need it to be, as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz says, "No, I will not ask for a sign. I will not put the Lord to the test." He justifies his faith in Assyria over faith in God with a theological statement. But God sees through that false piety. Ahaz won't put God to the test because he doesn't trust what will come of that test. Ahaz has a plan and he doesn't want to mess with it or open it up to divine disruption, to use words from poet Anne Hostetler. Ahaz is afraid and decides to trust in Assyria, setting Judah up to become a vassal state to them in time. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. God is with us is the good news of the incarnation. It is the good news of our doctor's waiting rooms, our stumbles in parenting, our standing at gravesides. But God is with us was not good news to Ahaz. God coming close can also interrupt us, can challenge or persuade us, can take us down a path we've never seen. Have there been times in our lives when we haven't felt quite ready for that? When we wanted to say, God, just actually take a step back or two, maybe, all right? I need space for the plans that I've made, the timetables I'm comfortable with, the process that seems appropriate to me. But in the story of the birth of Jesus the Messiah, we don't get space or timetables or process. We get Emmanuel. An unplanned pregnancy, an unbelievable explanation, a set of laws about sexual ethics and consequences that suddenly don't seem as clear as they did on the page. Like his ancestor before him, Joseph made a plan that made sense. It's even described as compassionate toward Mary, who, If you look at Deuteronomy, could have been stoned to death by law if accused of an affair, or, as is written, at least exposed to public disgrace if she was believed to be raped. Even though the law would say that she had not committed an offense punishable by death, we know even today what rape victims endure under public scrutiny. So Joseph was not going to bring any of this up, and perhaps we hardly blame him for preparing to walk away. In Joseph's mind, it's what makes sense. But then God's messenger shows up and says something that makes absolutely no sense. "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Perhaps it could be said that Joseph is doing what is right and good, but the angel comes to tell him to do what is brave. In this case, what is brave for Joseph is to believe what Mary says about her own body, that the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, which makes no sense. And that's scary and risky. And that is Emmanuel. That is God with us. God enters the world awaiting no invitation but humanity's great need. As Rachel Held Evans once wrote, if the incarnation tells us anything, it's that God can't be kept out. God's love is so limitless that it became limited by flesh and blood and breastfeeding schedules and wordless cries and exhausted first-time parents. Emmanuel has entered our reality, does enter our reality, and calls it a place where the holy can be born. As God's cells begin to multiply in the darkness of Mary's womb, the holy is born in Joseph too. Joseph, once fearful, once single-minded and problem-solving, wakes from his dream and discovers that there is another way to take. A risky way, a brave way, a really nonsensical way. But he trusts that this somehow could be the way of God. And in trusting the promise of Emmanuel, God with us, Joseph also lives out the radical practice of being with Mary, being with her coming child, who he names and legally claims fatherly responsibility for. In the very name of Jesus, Yeshua, is not a God who lives to punish, but a God who is born to save people from their sins. Joseph signs on to be with this God, whose very identity is with us. Joseph signs on for the interruptions, the risks, the possible judgment of others. He signs on for a radical, reckless, nonsensical practice of giving and receiving love. Made in God's image as we are, this being withness is somehow both our promise and our call, that which surrounds us and compels us. God risked being born in fragile humanity to be with us and to tell us, do not be afraid to be an incarnation of the love of God in the lives around you. I will tell you a story of being withness, of reckless love. I have a photo for you. This is a photo of Felicity. Right there, that's Felicity. Her dad is my friend Will. Some of you might recognize that these buckets are MCC kits at MCC Alberta, probably relief kits, I think. Nobody posed or prompted Felicity in this picture. This is what Will writes about it. At home, if I give each of the kids a job and then 20 minutes later, two of them come to report that the third child isn't doing their work, there's a pretty good chance that that third child is Felicity. But when I pick up the kids from the school playground, Felicity is the only one to yell, "Daddy!" and run to greet me with a hug. If you've ever gotten a hug like that in hard times, you know the power of that kind of reckless affection. Will goes on to describe the day they volunteered in the MCC kit assembly line. And he said, "I would accompany Felicity to ensure that she could reach what she needed and that she was packing them neatly into the bucket. But while I was focused on efficiency and utility, Felicity had an eye for beauty. She made sure to grab the prettiest towels. In a bucket of black comb, she dug out the purple ones. If there was a toothbrush with a pretty design, that went in Felicity's bucket. She would sometimes say that the people getting her buckets would be the lucky ones, even speculating that it would be princesses who would get hers." She likely wasn't paying attention when Linda, the MCC staff person, was telling us about the refugee camps these buckets were going to, and about the war and devastation the recipients of the buckets will have gone through to get there. So when we gathered for this prayer, the rest of us laid our hands on a bucket, thinking of the difficult journeys of these recipients and the hard road ahead of them for which they would need these supplies. But Felicity hugged hers, sending her love to the princes and princesses who would joyfully discover the beauty within it. During the prayer, I was on the other side of these buckets and couldn't see these two kids at that time, but this photo captures perfectly the reckless love Felicity blessed me and others with that day. We are nearly at Christmas Day, and on its eve as a church, we will celebrate the wonder of incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us. We will marvel that the God of the universe became the most defenseless of living beings in the most reckless display of love I can quite fathom. It doesn't make sense, and it's a little scary. But do not be afraid to let God come close to you. Do not be afraid to let God's love be born in you.